honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I want to thank you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It is an excellent pleasure to be back again with you once again today. The Minnesota Timberwolves continue to win games despite the fact they're playing teams that weren't so good this past week, but took care of business regardless. Even when you don't play well, the sign of a good team is even when you don't play well, you still get the win. The Minnesota Timberwolves are 16-4 and have the best record in the NBA. Just give us the championship. It's time, right? Okay, I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, it's... Yes, this is absolutely a very, very special season. It's a historic season. It's a historic run. There are historic numbers. This is the best winning percentage for a Minnesota team in a month of all time. The month of November, the best winning percentage in the history of any Minnesota franchise. So we're talking two World Series teams with the Twins, so on and so forth. You know, obviously the Wild, the Vikings, blah, blah, blah. An amazing win percentage. I suppose the Vikings could go undefeated in a month, but yeah, you get the idea. But that's a different story. It has been an unbelievable run, and I just hope it continues. I really do. Obviously, guys need to stay healthy enough anyway. We've lost Jaden McDaniels for a significant amount of time, but he'll be back fairly soon, I have to think. It's already been like 9 games, so, and it was a grade 1 sprain on the ankle. It wasn't like the biggest injury ever. And, well, obviously the month of November had already passed, and the Wolves are picking up where they left off. 2-0 versus Charlotte and San Antonio. Again, two games that were not pretty. One was the defense wasn't real good with Charlotte, and the Wolves end up surviving and getting the job done. The next one was the offense was pretty yucky and still survived and got the job done versus the Spurs. We have 3 games coming up, Memphis, New Orleans, and Dallas, all Western Conference teams and all on the road. So can the Wolves continue this incredible run? I hope so. It has been absolutely historic. I mean, that's the word of the day, historic. It's a historic run. It's a historic season. And doggone it, when you're this good, see, like, everybody's like, oh, well, you can't have expectations for this. Just enjoy the season. I am enjoying the season. I am. That's the whole point. I am enjoying the season. But opportunities like this may never come again. That's why strike while the iron's hot, baby. Let's win the title now. Let's win the whole thing now. That's going to pretty much be my approach the rest of the season. That's pretty much how I'm looking at the season. Win, baby. Win the championship. And I know it's a little early to be talking about NBA championships on December 8th, 2023 in this case. Let's go for it. You know, I mean, if you're this good, let's keep it going and let's get it done. You have a guy who's playing like the Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. Anthony Edwards, obviously, is a rising star in this league. Karl Anthony Towns has resurged and become the star a lot of us hoped he'd be, and he's been the perfect complement to Rudy Gobert and Anthony Edwards. So it is a big three. It's a legitimate big three. Jaden McDaniels coming back. Holy cow. Mike Conley is the adult in the room, and he's still so good. He's still so good. I mean, I wish he was 28, but still, he's still so dang good, and he's the perfect fit for this team at the point guard position. Obviously, you still have depth. Naz Reid, everybody likes Naz Reid. Just don't get hurt again, I pray. You know, obviously, that was such a bummer last year. Who knows what could have happened, but I mean, then again, now we would have played Denver, and we weren't going to beat Denver last year. But, man, this is it's just so exciting. It's so much fun. Obviously, you don't want to get too hyper, too crazy. I don't like to do that, and I don't like people that do it at all, especially when it's not even an interesting topic at work or something. Like, what are you so excited about that for? Shut up and work. But when it comes, yeah, sorry for airing out that dirty laundry. back to the, but yeah, but fans are the same way. They get overly excited, and I'm trying not to do that. But at the same time, I mean, hey, if you're this good, strike while the iron's hot. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of seeing Minnesota teams lose in the postseason in golden opportunities like this, like the 98 Vikings. Who could forget? See, this is a 98 Vikings type of a season right now for the Timberwolves, hopefully with a better ending. Hopefully with a better ending, not that heartbreaking loss to the Atlanta Falcons in January 1999. It was just, you know, the team was winning comfortably. Then the fumble late at the end of the half. Atlanta scores a touchdown. And it's like, oh, that was kind of gut-wrenching. Hopefully we'll be okay. And then the offense just stopped, you know, just stopped. They couldn't do anything anymore. Atlanta miraculously ties it up. We just don't make the clutch plays down the stretch and then end up losing. Including a missed field goal, which is bullcrap. Anyhow, where are we? The field goal would have wrapped up the game, by the way. That's the sad part, despite all the despite the disappointing run. Why am I getting into the 98 Vikings? Well, because 16-4 is that kind of a season. It's that kind of season. The Wolves have never been this good. Even the, as we always talk about, the 03-04 Timberwolves, they got off to a really slow start. Like, they might have won 60-plus games that year, but they started terribly. And I've talked about this probably on a last episode or two already. Like, I remember hearing Paul Allen and others saying, boy, this team is really underachieving. Kind of like last year's Minnesota Timberwolves team. It was a big underachievement. The team got better down the stretch, made the playoffs by the skin of our teeth, and then ended up getting gentlemanly swept out the door. Hopefully this year we start gentlemen sweeping, or just flat-out sweeping people when it comes to the first and second round and off to the conference championship and hopefully the NBA Finals. I hope so. Yes, and isn't it beautiful as you look to, obviously I'm getting ahead of myself here, but why the hell not? This whole show is getting ahead of itself right now, at least that's the way I've approached it so far. Timberwolves 16-4, Memphis 6-14. Isn't it great to be the reciprocal of Memphis's season on the positive end of the reciprocal? And it's not 9-8 and 8-9, you know, 7-10, 10-7. No, 16-4, 6-14. Especially with a guy that talks so much crap. So obviously he hasn't been playing, but obviously because he's suspended and all that, because he's a nitwit. But Jackass Jaw, yeah, hasn't played in a while with his big jaw because it's always flapping. Yeah, it's just, I'm sorry. That team pissed me off. And I'm sure it pissed off a lot of Timberwolves fans and players at the time. And the Wolves ended up not winning that series, blowing, was it three leads in a row? It was just ridiculous. Like double-digit leads in a row. So anyhow, that's what we're not doing. That's what's different. When it looks like we're going to blow it, we don't blow it. Like, we stay mature. Maturity has been a huge difference. And we heard Tim Conley talking about that. Maturity. Maturity. We need to be more mature. We need to stop bitching and moaning every single time we don't get our way. Like, you know, so many people in this world, that's how they get through their day. That's how they go through life, is bitching and moaning about everything under the sun. Now, people aren't happy with this. People aren't happy with that. It's understandable. But if you're just going to bitch and moan, you're never going to make it anywhere. And you don't deserve to make it anywhere. That's just the bottom line. And if you do get somewhere by doing that, you're a jackass. You don't deserve it. Anyhow, there I go again. Charlotte, 123-117, Minnesota with the win on the 2nd of December. Charlotte drops to 6-12. This, again, a place the Wolves hardly ever win, but the Wolves finally pulled away in a game that, you know, the defense just wasn't good. And it was kind of not a fun game, really, to watch. No Anthony Edwards, of course. Troy Brown Jr. started, and he was all right, 9 points. Mike Conley with 10 assists, though, just the adult in the room. Rudy Gobert, an amazing week. Carl Anthony Towns, an amazing week. Kevin Garnett numbers, minus the rebounding, anyway. Kevin Garnett in his MVP season, anyway, with the 28 points, but 5 assists. Yeah, that's Garnett, you know. 7 rebounds only, but then Gobert, 26 points, 3 blocks. 12 rebounds, just phenomenal. Having an amazing year, but Naz Reid also off the bench was a huge factor in keeping up with the Charlotte team when the Wolves' defense wasn't doing well and Charlotte was hitting their shots. And it felt like a lot of bounces of the balls were going in the Hornets' direction. Naz Reid with 23 points off the bench. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic and was absolutely needed. It was just an 8-man rotation in this one. Shake Milton obviously continuing to be kind of all over the place. He'll make a good play or two, but he'll miss, like, you know, he'll miss all over the place. There's 2 of 8 in this game. He'll get some wild turnovers. But this one, he didn't have any turnovers, but still shot poorly. If it's not the turnovers, it's shooting poorly. If it's not shooting poorly, it's the turnovers. And I don't know, occasionally the defense sucks too. and kind of did at times. The hope is we're not overusing Conley. That's the one thing, because obviously the backup point guard spot is all over the place. Like, Shake Milton is kind of like a de facto point guard, even though he can play the position, he's done it and all that. But I don't know. I mean, he's definitely not a pure point guard, and he sure the heck doesn't appear to be. Kyle Anderson plays kind of a point guard-ish, point forward-ish role, like a Scottie Pippen. He was good in the game, obviously. He got more minutes than Naz Reid, believe it or not. But despite the fact Reid was shooting the lights out, 9 of 14, 3 of 6 from downtown. Karl Anthony Towns pretty much shot the lights out as well. 12 of 23, I mean, that's over 50%. 4 of 8 from downtown. And again, it was very well needed on a night when Conley didn't shoot particularly well. In fact, 1 of 7 from downtown isn't good. It's just not. But the 10 assists made up for it with that. And the nice, solid, adult-like defense. And even 5 rebounds for the... For Uncle Mike, well, uncle to some people, he'd probably be my nephew. No, he's not. I'm not that old. My nephew, no, he'd be like a younger brother, really. At the end of the day, yeah, younger brother or a cousin or something. But the Wolves end up winning in a game they didn't play all particularly well. Like, the defense wasn't so good. You didn't have Anthony Edwards, so on and so forth. But at least Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns played well enough. In fact, they played outstanding. Let's just be honest. It's a lot of the other guys not so great. Like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, after that awesome game versus the Utah Jazz last week, not been that good. He's not been nearly as good, and I ended up cutting him in fantasy. Yeah, I had to. He's not putting up the fantasy numbers anyway, so that was kind of a must, unfortunately. It's sad, but I had to do it. He's not a fantasy player. Just that one game he was, to be quite honest, and yeah, it's been a sucky week too. So yeah, Duncan Robinson. That's okay, you didn't need to know about that, but that's who I acquired. You're probably like, really, man? Duncan Robinson, are you kidding? He sucks. No, he doesn't. Anyhow, it was again, they got the job done when it mattered, and that's where a lot of us feel a lot better. Again, guys like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns shooting the lights out, Naz Reid, guys like that, and Rudy Gobert. I mean, they were the ones that really won the game for the Timberwolves down the stretch. Because, the 3 big men in there, where they were getting the job done, where other players, maybe not so much. And it's not really an indictment on the other players. It's just the fact that those 3 were playing so well, Karl, Rudy, and Naz Reid. And it was working, despite the fact 3 big men at the same time sounds a little weird. But it worked, and the Wolves got the job done. That's what matters most in the end. The Wolves win by 6. With 3 big men on the floor down the stretch as the Wolves pull away from the Charlotte Hornets and get the job done. Incredible free throw shooting at the game. The only guy who missed free throws, really, for the most part, was Gobert, 6 of 9. I've seen worse. But, let's keep going. I don't need to talk about free throws all day. Man, Detroit sucks. 2 of 19. Detroit and the Spurs are the 2 worst teams in the league. I guess we're pretty far removed from the 2005 NBA Finals. Yeah, just a little bit. It's only a couple of years ago. But still, it's like you always thought of Detroit and San Antonio as respectable franchises for forever, pretty much. Like back into the 1980s, of course, with Detroit. But the Spurs were pretty good in the 80s, too. In the late 80s, but mostly early 90s and beyond. There's just... I don't know. It's weird to see them suck as bad as they do. The Spurs do have Wemby. Maybe they'll get a number 1 pick again, or number 2 pick. Maybe they'll get the next Tony Parker without taking him in the second round. They'll have to take him much higher this time. But without having to get lucky in the second round, they'll actually have a high pick, is what I'm trying to say. This was an ugly basketball game. Really ugly, ugly basketball game. But the Wolves won. Yep, the Wolves won. The Spurs only scored 94 points. The Wolves with 102-94. The Wolves pull away in the fourth quarter in a game, and in the third as well. The Spurs were actually winning for the longest time. The Hornets were winning for a while as well. The Spurs were actually winning this game for an extended period. Wemby, at the end of the day, he was clanging stuff all over the place. He missed both of the threes he took, and they were open shots, and he missed them both. 4 of 13, so Wemby, not quite his night. And you know he's going to be a star as he gets getting better. I mean, he definitely flashes. But this was not his night at all. Just 12 points. Devin Vassell, somebody everybody'd like to have. A 3 and D, that's even more than a 3 and D. But, yeah, the 3's too. 4 of 8, 9 of 16 with 22 points. Keldon Johnson, also a very respectable performance, adding 10 rebounds at the shooting guard position, tying Wemby for the lead in rebounds. Impressive. Walker, again, another kind of a game where he's out there. This was not a particularly good game for Walker, but he played defense. That's what matters. He is a good defender. It's kind of the stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. But the stat sheet was ugly. It was ugly for the most part. Nikhil was missing shots. He eventually made one corner three, but other than that, he stunk pretty much, offensively anyway. Naz Reid also 1 of 7. What the heck? So, clanging shots all over the place. Troy Brown, 2 of 8. These are all three-point attempts. Conley, 4 of 10. Even that's, well, it's 40%. It's just 10, though. Jeez, whew. Karl-Anthony Towns, very solid for the most part. I mean, no, he wasn't. He was sloppy. And he only attempted 6 shots. It's just a weird game. Weird game. Nobody made 20 points in the game. Anthony Edwards came back and looked good for a second, and then it was like, okay, this hurts. This really hurts. Like, obviously, the bruised hip area. And let me tell you, that hurts. And I've talked about it 3 or 4 times on the show, because remember, Anthony Edwards landed on his back last year against the Bucks. And yeah, and people were making fun of him, like, not Wolves fans, but Bucks fans were making fun of him, like, give me a break, you're overreacting, now you're playing, give me a break, so they're booing him. No, it really hurts, and it can be super immobilizing. I can imagine the hip is, yeah, can be incredibly immobilizing, because there's like a side of you, like your side isn't moving like the other side. And I don't know, it was a struggle, but the Wolves end up surviving. 4 of 17 for Anthony Edwards, playing through it, and we'll see how things go here with him. Rudy Gobert with 20 rebounds, got a couple of blocks, 15 points. Awesome, you know, just an awesome week. I mean, it's pretty easy to tell where we're heading when it gets to the weekly awards. Shake E. He was terrible. 12 minutes, nothing. Well, 1 rebound, and that's it. And he just kind of didn't look particularly good out there. That's a whole quarter of basketball, by the way. You think, like, it's 12 minutes, that's nothing. It's a whole quarter, and it was a crappy quarter. Crappy. Naz Reid, 7 of 18, obviously, yeah, but the 1 of 7, that's what kind of really sucked. Still wound up with 15 points. It's good numbers and everything. Sixth man of the year, right? No, he's one of them. But overall, a meh game. You know, a meh game, but the Wolves end up surviving despite being meh. And with guys on the Spurs and the Wolves missing shots, like, all over the place in this game, it was a field day for Rudy Gobert, vacuuming up rebounds, and you still had, you almost had 3 guys with double-digit rebounds of the Wolves. That's how bad the Spurs and the Wolves both shot in this game. It's just holy mother of Moses. Karl-Anthony Towns with 10 rebounds, Rudy with 20, Naz Reid with 9. Are you kidding me? Anthony Edwards with 7 rebounds and 6 assists. That's nice. Despite, you know, still went up with 17, because at least he got to the line and made 7 of 8. Whew, 55 rebounds in the game. This is all messed up. But yeah, it is that. It's 55 rebounds in the game. That is amazing stuff. 55 rebounds in the game, folks. That's awesome. Rudy Gobert, a plus 31 in the game. You heard that? A plus 31. That's all you need to know. Rudy Gobert, Lone Wolf Award winner for this week with a bullet. There is no competition. He has no rivals this week for the Lone Wolf Award. It's done. Okay, Karl-Anthony Towns was awesome versus Charlotte, but he kind of, you know, wasn't awesome versus San Antonio. Even though he made 5 of 6, but he had 6 turnovers, and he was kind of a mess. Luckily, nobody got into foul trouble, but the minutes were spread around so much in this game, you would hope nobody would get into foul trouble. Kyle Anderson did add, this is a pretty big thing, 4 blocks in the game. So that's a very impressive performance by Kyle Anderson, getting 4 blocks. And yes, the Spurs shot like Dog Dookie, but blocking shots helps teams shoot like Dog Dookie. 41.4% from the floor, 30% from downtown for the Wolves. Why am I going back? That was dumb and pointless. Spurs, as Marcus would call him. Shout out to Marcus the Forecaster, in case you're listening. 37.6% from the floor, 22.2% overall, or from downtown, excuse me. The Wolves won the game for a reason. And, wow, Wow. Remember the whole field goal ratio? What did I call it? The Paligino-Joey shot ratio? I think I used to call it that, right? What do you think of this? 20 field goal attempts and 12 points by Zach Collins. Exquisite. Absolutely exquisite. Just great. Yeah. Like, what was it? Carl the other day. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that sexy. And then he attempted 23 shots and got 28 points. It's still good. But when you have games where it's like 11 shots and like 30 points, like, holy crap, you know, that's pretty impressive, which can happen once in a blue moon. But, yeah, this was not one of those days. But at least the Wolves capitalized on the rebounds. The Spurs did, too. I mean, let's be honest. Wemby, 10. Osman, 8. Zach Collins, 8. Keldon Johnson, shooting guard, with 10 also. So, yeah, see, that's almost 40 rebounds right there. That's a lot just with those guys. So, still very impressive numbers for the Spurs. 49 rebounds. So, it's just a lot of missed shots. But the Wolves survive and get the job done. The Johnny Flynn popcorn maker, whatever, memorial is Shake Milton with a bullet. Like, we had two easy choices this week. Shake Milton has not been good. He's not been good. I would call him the disappointment of the year. Disappointment of the year so far. That'd be Shake Milton. The MVP of the season just might be Rudy Gobert. It might not be Anthony Edwards. So far, I think it's Rudy. Keep it up, Rudy. If Rudy, and there was a time when I'm like, if Rudy Gobert's the player of the week, oh boy, that means we sucked. Or, you know, Anthony Edwards was awful, or Carl's bad too, and blah, blah. Now it's like, you know what? They're still, you know, for the most part, like Carl Anthony Towns had a decent week. But I mean, like a lot of these other weeks, like if Rudy Gobert keeps playing this good though, at these heights, and then you still get good performances from Carl and Anthony Edwards, maybe Anthony Edwards goes off for 40 or something, or Carl gets 35. But Rudy Gobert is getting 20 rebounds, blocking 3 or 4 shots, 16 plus points. That's a championship contender, I think. I do. It's a title contender, especially, again, you have an adult in the room like Mike Conley. This is a special season. Yes, enjoy the season. But at the same time, you know, like I'm going to say it forever, enjoy the season. Absolutely. How can you not enjoy the season? But, but when you're this good and you're, if you just might have home court advantage throughout the playoffs, or at least, you know, you get like a 2 or 3 seed in the Western Conference, let's try to go all the way and get it done. I mean, strike while the iron's hot. You don't know when this opportunity is going to come back. Can the Wolves be great next year? Of course. Of course. But do we know? Do we know the future? Of course we don't. There's a good chance the Wolves will be really good next year. It will be really good for the next 5 to 10 years. But it's not guaranteed. Get it done now if you can. If you have a chance to win it all, man, I just hope to God that they can. And I know it's much easier said than done. You don't know how good the other team is going to be when it matters in May and June. And I'm saying May and June, not April. May and June. It's nice to be able to talk about May and June, Memorial Day weekend, you know, Flag Day. You know, Flag Day is NBA championship range right there. So, yes. So, segment over. Very much enjoyable. This is as fun a team as it is. Again, yucky week, but we still win both games. So, that's what's really awesome. So, and stayed relatively healthy, I got to think, as well. Anthony Edwards, hopefully the bruised area will continue to heal up. Yep, indeed. With that said, we will take a quick break and preview the upcoming 3 games in the Western Conference. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 2, time to look at the upcoming games, or at least attempt to. Hopefully Yahoo is going to cooperate with me for the heaven's sake. Yes, it is so far. So far, fingers crossed. Okay, today, the 8th of December, Memphis Grizzlies. Wolves visit Memphis. Music town or whatever the heck it is. It's, it's Memphis. Yep. Memphis and Grizzlies, I don't know, I'll never understand it. How about the Jazz and the Grizzlies change names, like switch names? The Utah Grizzlies and the Memphis Jazz. What do you think of that? Do it. Do it. Do it. Don't you think Grizzlies could be in the mountainy area in Utah and that Jazz and Memphis go together pretty good with that? Yeah. Don't you think so? Come on. I mean, it'd be the first time I think that would happen, but I think it'd be a good idea, don't you think? Let's do it. Anyhow, that's about how I feel about the Memphis Jazz Grizzlies. The jackass jaw with his flapping jaw on suspension because he's brandishing guns and stuff. I believe in the right to conceal. I believe in the right to bear arms, but not the way he was going about it, I suppose. Not the way he was going about it. Like waving it around, like, ha ha, you know. So anyhow, I better get off my whole rant here. Jake LaRavia, I'm sorry, Jake. November the 18th, Marcus Smart with the ankle, yep, on the IL injured list and all that, unfortunately. Bismack Biyombo, how many teams has he been on? Desmond Bane's a pain in the butt, but he's damn good, too. Physical, tough guy. 29th in points, Wolves are 20th. 22nd in rebounds, Wolves are 7th. Might be 1st after last game. 3-point percentage, Memphis is 30th. Bottom of the barrel. Minnesota, 11th. So on, so forth. Block shots, Wolves are 3rd. Memphis is 2nd. So they have something to hang their hat on. The Wolves crushed the Grizzlies 119-97. After Thanksgiving a bit there, Sunday, that day before having to go back to work, after a long layoff, bummer, isn't it? It really is. But the Wolves crushed Memphis pretty good. This one, that was in Memphis. This one's also in Memphis tonight. And then Thursday, January 18th, Target Center, 9 p.m. Must be a national game or something. Wednesday, February 28th, the second last day of February in 2024 because it's a leap year. Yeah, Target Center, 6:30. What's going on with these times? That's weird. Shouldn't it be 7? I don't get it. Wolves have won 5 in a row after losing to Sacramento on November 24th. Happy Black Friday, doggone it. Memphis is 3-2 in their last, wow. So they've won 3 out of their last 6 games here in the past week. So not bad, including getting crushed by the Wolves 5 games ago. Ooh, the Wolves should be able to take care of business. Desmond Bane's averaging about 25 points a game. Yep, 7 rebounds for Biz MacBiambo. Desmond Bane also 5.4 assists. He's kind of playing that super, I won't say Scottie Pippen, like LeBron James role, if you can call it that, for the Memphis Grizzlies, at least, anyway. Huh, the Bucks lost to the Pacers. Interesting. You know, I haven't really seen the Bucks play with Lillard really yet much. Not at all. Wow. That's an impressive big three they have, by the way. But, yeah, sorry. Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin is... He's just the toppings on the pizza. He's not the pizza, unfortunately. Next. Sorry, I'm being funky again. Funky stuff. Jaren Jackson Jr., 1.9 blocks a game, right around a little bit below Rudy Gobert, averaging 2.3. Gotta love that. Of course, Smart is out. He's been out for 9 games, just like our guy. He's been out for 9 games, Jade McDaniel. So right around the same time, Derrick Rose has been out, I suppose. Well, no, he's been playing now. 9 points, 3 assists. It's nice to see that he's still playing and everything. I'm just not as big a fan as some other people, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't disrespect him or anything. Just I'm not all gaga about him. That's all. Is that okay? I hope. Aldama, 13.4. 0.6 rebounds, okay. He's playing his role. He's decent. 27 minutes. Yeah, it's pretty much Bane and Jackson, Jaren Jackson. And then, of course, Ja Morant should be the main guy with those two other guys. You know, that should be the big three for Memphis, and they could be a playoff threat. But, I don't know. Ja's more interested in, I don't know, just acting weird, I guess. Recently, Memphis beat up on Detroit, 116-102. I mean, how many games has Detroit lost in a row? It's kind of... kind of weird. It's kind of strange. Never thought you'd see anything this ugly, but we're seeing it. Oh, they suck. to the point, though, Memphis Grizzlies, they are playing better. They're a pain in the butt. You never know. This has a little bit of trap game to it. Of course it does. You think I'm like super 100% comfortable? It's like I should be, but no. No, but I'm kind of looking at some stuff here, yeah. This shouldn't be the loss out of the three. If the Wolves are going to drop one of the three, this shouldn't be the one. The Wolves should win this game. We're going to go with a final score along the lines of 116 to 116-104, Wolves win fairly comfortably, I would say, over the Memphis Grizzlies. Karl-Anthony Towns with 28. At Nollins, again, this is all a road trip. December 11th was an inside job. Smoothie King Center, I gotta love that. Smoothie King Center. Yes, again, okay, I forgot to talk about the Wolves' injuries, and you kind of know Jalen Clark Achilles, obviously, back into the college season last year. So, and in the NBA, Achilles could take 6 years. Okay, I'm just kidding, slightly. Jordan McLaughlin, knee, it seems like he's, I don't know, he kind of is what he is, unfortunately. He's always hurt. Jaden McDaniels of the ankle could be coming back pretty soon, so they say. Larry Nance Jr., rib, as of November 29th. Happy Thanksgiving, right? Got happy Thanksgiving a couple of days after, right? Matt Ryan's calf injury as of the 19th. Again, former Timberwolf Matt Ryan. New Orleans Pelicans put the lemon in the tomato juice, by the way. This is in New Orleans, so you better put that lemon in the tomato juice. You better. 15th in points. They're actually 1 point ahead of the Wolves, which is weird. But that's because our defense is so good. Sixth in rebounding and a three-point percentage. They are 22nd. Otherwise, they're kind of mediocre in a lot of stuff. Block shots, they're 27th. Old what's his name? Yeah, didn't they get their butts kicked just recently? Yeah, the Lakers just crushed the New Orleans Pelicans. Crushed them last night, 133-89. That's why the only guy that played for my fantasy team last night, a guy named Zion Williamson, only got 13 points in a couple minutes, and he stunk and all that. Yep, Zion Williamson. He's still kind of the star of the team, but it's like, is he ever healthy? He's kind of like the Byron Buxton of the... you know what? 19 games out of 20. 23. Okay. 19 games out of 23. Okay, keep it up. And as Buxton did play a bunch of games before as well. CJ McCollum missed some time this year, 10 games only, 19.5, but he is the Wolves killer historically, again, you know, dating back to the infamous 2013 draft where the Wolves passed on CJ McCollum and a guy by the name of Giannis, that guy. You know, have you ever heard of him? You know, he plays for the Bucks. He's okay. I mean, gosh, they only won a championship with him, and he was the best player in the world for at least a time, and he's still kind of up there. You know that guy. And we got Baz Muhammad. He's not in the league. Gorgui Dieng is like, I don't know, he's like a 10th man somewhere. Nice player for a while, but that draft. That one. CJ McCollum is a sharpshooter, but only 36% from downtown this year. He's been better. He's just generally been better. He's not been real good this season, and he's been hurt. 43.2. Brandon Ingram is the straw that stirs the drink, I think, even more so than Zion Williamson. Let's just be honest. He is. You might think he would have been the secondary star, but he was kind of supposed to be, and this could be a very deadly team, especially with a healthy CJ McCollum scorching the net and such with those two big men kicking some butt. But, I mean, Zion Williamson's only averaging 5.6 rebounds. What's up with that crap? The real true big man, the center, the slower guy, Valanciunas with 8.8 rebounds. That's it. 8.8 rebounds. That's not much. But he does have 1.3 blocks. He's one of the guys actually blocking shots for the, whoever they're called, the Pelicans, pardon me. Herbert Jones also getting 1.3 blocks a game. Obviously providing some energy, but blocking some shots, showing some athleticism. Winnable game. Dangerous team, though. They gave us a hell of a time just recently. But again, they got absolutely freaking pummeled by the Lakers. Pummeled. 121-120. Another one of those games where the Wolves were, you know, they were, I don't know. It wasn't their best game. The defense wasn't so good. The offense was kind of a little bit, it was okay. 121 points. That's actually good for us this year. But yeah, it wasn't a good game defensively. Pelicans were hitting their shots and the Wolves were sloppy, turning the ball over and such. Survived by one stinking point, and the Wolves had to come back and steal it away from the Pelicans in Nollins. They forgot to put the lemon in the tomato juice, so please put it this time. Please put it on Monday. Yeah, especially, you know, at least if it's not in the morning, in the afternoon, put that lemon in the tomato juice and get the job done there in Nollins. It's a Louisiana thing, okay? Lemon, tomato juice, yes, and I love it. I don't like it. I love it. So just being honest with you. Wow, this series will already be No, the Wolves are up 2-0. And if they win this one, or the one in Target Center on Wednesday, January 3rd, the Wolves win the season series. I think the Wolves do win the season series one way or another. I think the Wolves win this game somehow, some way, because that's just how it is. This could easily be a loss, though. The Wolves did win really comfortably back on November the 8th, 122-101. A far cry from that scary performance in Nolens on September the 18th. Or, excuse me, November the 18th. New Orleans is 3-2 in their last five. So good for them. Their most recent game was a blowout loss to the LA Lakers that I mentioned 50 times. I'm sure Vince Germano enjoyed that very much. Yeah, I'm sure he enjoyed it thoroughly. 133 points. Oh, man, that is, it's impressive, you know. And the Lakers, a lot of people think that they won't get too far, but we'll see how it goes. Got to get by us. Huh? What do you think of that? Will the Wolves win this game? I hope so. I have a feeling this might be the night when Anthony Edwards kind of starts to show signs. Though Karl Anthony Towns may still lead the team in scoring, but I think Anthony Edwards gets closer to like 25 points. Karl with 30-ish. I think Karl's going to lead the team in scoring for a couple games, and then the Dallas game could be epic stuff. Wolves survive this one by a final score of 118-116. And there you go. Wolves survive it by the skin of our teeth and end up taking a 3-0 lead in the season series. And then the game that I have a feeling the win streak will, you know, this will be one of our few losses this year, I think. Dallas Mavericks. Not because I like the Mavericks. Not because I'm a big Luka Doncic fan, because I'm not. I think he's a little, you know, he's a little bit overrated. His stats are great. But will he ever win anything of any significance? I doubt it. But we'll see. His stats are great. He's a really, really good player. I'm never going to trash him. I just think he's a little tiny bit overrated when people talk about him like he's going to win like the MVP like every year. It's like, no, he's not. Come on. Very impressive statistic for the Mavericks. They're number one in the league in turnovers. Yeah, turnovers, turnover prevention is what I'm trying to say. Third in assist to turnover ratio. So very impressive numbers there. They are fifth in points, and I think that could be a problem. Something's got to give. It's great offense versus great defense. Maybe the Wolves, it's just kind of not their night in American Airlines Center. Anthony Edwards has 35. Luka Doncic has 35. It's going to be kind of that type of back and forth. Dominique Wilkins, Larry Bird type of night. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be high scoring. But the Mavericks pull away like something. I just think it's going to be one of those nights where the Wolves are a little frustrated. Mavericks get 125-120 or something like that, 118. But the Mavericks beat the Wolves, unfortunately. That's just my bet. Hopefully the Wolves take care of business. Maybe we don't win versus New Orleans, but crush Dallas or squeeze by Dallas. But if we somehow win all three, holy crap. But if the Wolves somehow win all three, that's just, you know, another feather in the cap for this outstanding season. Absolutely great. So with that said, that's where I'm standing at this moment. 2-4. The Wolves will be 18-5 a week from today, in my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see. And then the schedule continues to be interesting. It's not going to be that easy. Indiana, Miami, Philadelphia. Yeah, that's, you know, it's not easy. Not easy at all. Miami and Philadelphia at. So Indiana is a tough team. They've always been tough to play against every single year forever, basically. And they're tough right now. They beat the Bucks just recently. So we'll see how that goes. With that, we'll take a quick break and see if there's some fan interaction out there. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion, final segment, fan interaction segment, at TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX. Like Derek Felska out of Western Wisconsin retweeted the most recent episode, Maintaining Our Position. That's what I called it. This one is going to be like historic season or something along those lines. Historic run, historic season continues, something like that, but it's going to have the word historic in the title. Yes, which you already know because you see it, but it's just me thinking right now as I'm recording. So please understand my perspective. Ah, Vince Germano at VinRock44. Thank you so much for the retweet coming in out of Melbourne, Australia. Melbourne, Australia, and the Victoria Providence. And then you also have Mr. Tane Brown coming in out of New Zealand. Just absolute pillars of this show. Pillars. And Derek Prelska is a pillar of this show. He is the George Washington, though, of the Brave the Wild. There's no doubt. And a video game flashback when it comes to that. So, yes, no doubt. Vince and Tane, you know, they're absolute Mount Rushmore as it gets when it comes to Timberwolves Explosion. Absolutely. Nick, yep, there's the, yep, he's on the Mount Rushmore. You bet he is. Nick Demas, yep. How about them Wolves coming in out of Aussie as well? Benzo's got to be up there. Yep. Levi, yep, you guys are so greatest. Yep, Nick Demas, yeah, it's nice to hear from you. It's been a little bit. Yep, great to hear from you. He says, how about them Wolves? Yep. Chris Finch, also coach of the month, which I didn't even talk about. October and November, because October is short, you know, because it's, you know, getting started. So, well-deserved. Absolutely well-deserved. Chris Finch completely quieting the doubters in the past. We're like, oh, you know, he gives up leads. He doesn't make adjustments. He does this. He doesn't that. He's not keeping Carl Anthony Towns in check when it comes to the bitching at the refs. Well, he is now. He is now. He's doing exactly what we hoped. Exactly what we hoped with, keeping Carl Anthony Towns in check. And the maturity level of the team. Obviously, the best general manager in basketball. President of basketball is what he's really, Tim Connolly. Tim Connolly, Mike Connolly. Yep, Tim Connolly. I mean, absolutely, the best GM in basketball. Because, again, Denver Nuggets were his team until last year. They won the championship. Timberwolves are his team now. Best record in the NBA. He's the best GM in basketball. He is. And I'm very happy to have him. Very happy to have him. Rudy Gobert is, you know, everything we could have hoped for. Please stay healthy and keep it coming. Chris Finch, just, you know, I swear, like, you just knew. When you're going from Ryan Saunders, no disrespect to him whatsoever at all, but going from Ryan Saunders to Chris Finch, and you heard Chris Finch talk the press conferences after the games, even when the Wolves are kind of still a mess and still coming out of the doldrums of, you know, rebuilding, you know, that kind of thing. You know, remember all that? It was like the 19th re, but finally we're showing signs of, you know, building rather than just rebuilding over and over again. He sat down and listened, and it's just, I'll never forget, I just kind of, all of a sudden, I just felt myself relaxing in my chair, like putting my feet up, and absorbing everything he said was saying, which I just couldn't do in the past with previous Wolves coaches. I just couldn't. And it's like, that's the guy. That's the guy. He is the guy. Like, there's no doubt. That is the best coach of the Timberwolves. That's the guy. You could just feel it. It was just a vibe I had. And then, you know, the blowing leads and all that, you know, like years later, a year later or so, when the Wolves had that awesome, awesome breakthrough season, made the playoffs and all that, and then blew leads versus Memphis. It was disappointing, lack of adjustments, la-da-da. But it's a learning process for everybody. Learning process for everybody. Him kind of becoming, you know, the real leader of the team as the coach. Him becoming, you know, like learning what needs to be done. And, of course, again, came from the top as well with the better general, a better president of basketball operations than a guy who was more focused on co-worker lady, if you know what I mean. He was more focused on something else at the end of the day, even though he did make some wonderful moves. He made some weird ones as well, did Gerson Rosas. But then you get Tim Connolly, Chris Finch, it's a perfect match. Weird season last year, but now here we are. It's just absolutely wonderful. So we'll continue. I believe, yep, we're going to hear from Tane, yep. He said, I thought we might be, yeah, here we go. Yep, I simply posted a graphic of the standings. I believe it was a screenshot on the NBA app. 16-4. This is league, by the way. Boston's number 2, 15-5. Milwaukee, 15-6. The Orlando Magic are another pretty big surprise. And OKC emerging nicely, 13-7. They're a threat. OKC is a threat. Yep, they are an absolute threat, but the Wolves. 16-4. 16-4. Absolutely awesome. Milwaukee and Boston, not surprising at all. I had those two in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they probably will be but maybe might see Minnesota and OKC in the West. We'll see. That would be quite a contrast from what we've seen the last X amount of years. Lakers and Warriors and all that kind of stuff forever, basically. Denver was a sudden jump last year. Hopefully we're that sudden jump, because that sudden jump ended up winning it all. Let's do it, guys. Let's do it. Doggone it. Let's do it. Wow. So, the response was from Tene Brown out of New Zealand. I thought we might be a 4, 5, or 6 seed this year. This is something else. And I was thinking, I thought we'd at least be number 4 or so, but wow, yeah. Maybe not at least, but yeah, I thought we'd be hanging around, maybe home court advantage in the first round, maybe not. That kind of thing, like in the middle. Kind of close to what Tene's thinking. But here we are. I mean, let's keep it going, though. Let's not end it. Let's not drop down to 3, 4, 5. But number 1 in the whole league, though, not just the Western Conference. So an amazing sign, amazing thing right now. 3 whole games ahead of OKC for number 2 in the West. So freaking exciting, to say the least. I think that's it for the interactions, unfortunately. So a little bit of a quiet week again. But good thing I posted that, because, like, shoot, I hadn't been saying anything. So, again, my deep apologies for not being more and more involved during the course of the season. I always like to look around Australia, United Kingdom. Yep, United Kingdom. Yeah, I don't think I've heard from someone from the United Kingdom on this show. So say hi. Say hi or something. You know, any more Australians out there? Like, you know, obviously Nick Timas, awesome guy. Awesome guy. Vince Germano, of course. Absolutely great. I miss hearing from guys like, you know who I really miss is Wayne Hunt. Where the heck are you, man? So, just in case he's listening, Wayne Hunt, I really miss the Courtside Podcast. Oh, they've been on hiatus for like 2 years or something. What's going on? Another show that decided they didn't like me very much, they've been on hiatus forever. So, not that I've been listening to them the last 7 years or so anyway, because they got too full of themselves. More interested in off-topic crap, thinking we all care about their personal life, which we don't. If I'm up here talking about, my social life, wouldn't you get sick of it? I don't know. I don't think you're here for that. Anyhow, Germany, New Zealand. Yep, New Zealand, absolutely awesome. We want more New Zealanders. Yep, when you consider how great. But, I mean, if it's just Tene and Levi, you know, you guys are the kings of New Zealand anyway. That's what matters most. You guys are absolutely spectacular. Like, you're like two of the coolest people in the world, you know, like Vince Germano, Nick Timas. You know, you guys are just incredible. Of course, again, we have Pampa. That would be Reese Pedretti coming out of Brisbane, Australia. Yep, he does the random hoops, some awesome posts, and I love him so much. Those classic, you know, like top 10 plays of the week, you know, like NBA Inside stuff. Remember all that in the 90s? Oh, it just doesn't get better. It really doesn't. Like, if you think the NBA is cool now, which it's, I can finally start saying I'm starting to like it more. Thank you, Denver, last year. Thank you. So it's not all just everybody trying to be Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Thank God in heaven. Hallelujah, amen. And Vince, you were right. You said, Joey, I still remember. Joey, someday, don't worry, man, someday it's going to go back to the big man. Yep, you were right. You were right. You were right. I mean, games like Charlotte, the Wolves win with 3 big men on the floor the way they did. You were right, Vince. And I was thinking, yep, the NBA's ruined. It's just going to be guys standing at the three, or just hurling threes all day. And college is still messed up. I think it's just nonstop threes there. Like they show shooting charts, and it's like 40 shots all beyond the arc. It's like, what is that? Come on. This isn't gym class, guys. Jeez. You know, so stuff like that, you know. But, yeah, this is encouraging. And guys like Anthony Edwards, my favorite type of player, driving to the basket, dunking on people, drawing fouls, like real fouls, not chippy ticky-tack bullcrap, actually really drawing fouls. Not just charge after charge. So now we got to shoot a 3-pointer and shoot another one because we're just going to, otherwise we're going to, you know, get called for charges every time we drive to the basket. That was the beginning of a really dark period for the NBA, in my opinion, when it was one weak floppy charge after another every time somebody drove to the basket. Drove me nuts, and it was heartbreaking. And then you just knew, here come the 3-point shots, which is okay, but then the Warriors took it to a level of like, it's obnoxious. And not only shooting the threes and making them and all that, it got tiring, but then the obnoxious histrionics afterwards. Ugh, bleh, vomit-inducing, in my opinion. Call them historic, greatest players ever, all you want. For me, nah, man. No, man. Nope. I'll take Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson any day over that garbage. Any day of the week. I'll take Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert as well. Jokic. And then, of course, the Anthony Edwards, like the Jordan-type players. You know, the shooting guards that are physical and tough and drive to the basket. And, you know, and just low-by people or get that, you know, or draw a foul. That type of thing. So, Dominic Wilkins. With all of that said, thank you so much for listening. Please put a positive rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the other 5-star rating if you could. Would be greatly appreciated. Would love to hear from you as well. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Instagram is Timberwolves_explosion. At least I'm 99% sure that's what it is. I've been bad about like mentioning that. I don't mention the Instagram as much. Facebook, of course, facebook.com/TimberwolvesExplosion. So, yep, the Facebook page is still there. Purple Mafia is the one that got messed up, unfortunately. So, I know it's here. I apologize for the delay. Purple Mafia is the only one that got to kind of stay one word. Yep, Timberwolves_explosion. That's what I thought. So, I know I've seen, like, Nate Lindholm and Levi on there, which is awesome. Tanae also. So I really appreciate you guys. They haven't been commenting, but liking it at least. So hopefully Nate Lindholm's still listening to the show. Huge shout out to you. You were the best baseball player I ever saw. You know, outside of like Major League Baseball, yeah, you were the best baseball player I ever saw. And I do say that with sincerity, just in case you're listening. So you'd be surprised how much I think about that, actually. Because sometimes you like to think back to the, you know, high school days, of course, and, you know, we had it a heck of a lot better than we thought, didn't we? Sure did. With that said, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.